You know, we almost didn't have it. We had technical difficulties, and Fred Nuttall had to go back home, take all that video and put it on a different mechanical media device, and got here just in time to show it. So thank you, Fred. And thank you, Tamara, who's the most creative person I think I know. And how about all those amazing actors? Come on. And actresses. Great job. How much? All right. Well, you know, since we're giving high fives, how about let's give God a high five for raising his son Jesus from the dead. And let's say, thank you. Hallelujah. God gets the biggest high five this morning. So how are we doing on this Resurrection Sunday? Everybody doing good? Yeah. You know, this morning we are celebrating the most cataclysmic event in all of human history. Earth-shattering.
Amen.
The day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Millions, actually, it's changed. Not only millions of people's lives, His resurrection from the dead changed the lives of billions of people. Billions. In fact, if he wasn't raised from the dead, we wouldn't be here this morning. Yeah. Right? We wouldn't even know his name. Yeah. But Jesus is risen.
Amen.
But this may surprise you. Does anybody like surprises?
I do.
Yeah, I know you do. I know. Jesus wasn't the first person to rise from the dead. Actually, Jesus, you read in the Gospels, Jesus raised how many people from the dead? Three people. He first raised a widow's son on the way to the funeral. It's pretty cool. Then he raised from the dead a synagogue president's daughter. By the way, she was Jewish. And most astounding of all, he raised his good friend, Lazarus, from the dead. And I thought I would share that with you this morning. But rather than read it together, why don't we watch it together? Volume up, please.
Martha and Mary. The sisters of your friend in Bethany have sent me here to find you. Lazarus is very ill, near death.
Go. Tell them I'll be there.
Master, he's coming!
Master, Martha is coming!
He's arriving! He's arriving here! He's here! Oh, my goodness, he's come! Hello!
Lord. Lord. If you had been with us, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Because I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who has come into the world to give us eternal life.
Where have you laid him?
Come and see.
No.
Lord. I prayed and prayed for you to arrive. You could have kept Lazarus from dying.
Take away the stone.
But he's been dead 4 days, Master. His body must already be decaying.
Take away the stone.
Come on, give me a hand.
Thank you for hearing my prayer. Now those who stand round me may believe that I am the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in me shall never die.
I went down into the countries underneath the earth, to the peoples of the past. But you lifted my life from the pit. Lord, my God.
Lazarus! Come forth!
He that believes in me, but he were dead, yet shall he live.
Well, one can only imagine witnessing such an event. Imagine being there. And hearing those words, he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know, these are words that speak to the core of our human condition. Why? Because we all struggle with the prospect of death. I had a kind of an awakening. Last year, I got this card in the mail. Can you guess what it is? It's my Medicare card. I have arrived. I'm officially older. Not yet old yet. And it is a bit of an awakening moment, you know? I mean, you never think you're going to get there, you know? But and I found that over this last year, I can honestly say I do think more about death. And it's not the most pleasant thought. Not only the prospect of death, but maybe even more the process of death. You know, I love the patriarchs. You know, they just says, you know, read the Bible. They just lay down and blessed their children, went to sleep. That sounds really good to me. So the process is a little bit more scary. Now, for most people, it's a harsh reality that we would prefer to block out. Would you agree? One writer commented this way. He said, "The biggest fear I think people have is the fear of death. In many ways, we live in a culture that denies death. Everything around us is designed to keep death at bay. We glitz up our world and cover up the moribund reality that lies beneath all things. Even corpses are dressed up, embalmed, and given a makeover so as to look like they're merely sleeping. We use euphemisms, it's hard to say that when you're more, like passed away or passed on when talking about death. To cover up this fear, we have created a culture of the body. A spurious physical immortality. Enter cosmetic surgery. The facelift, the tummy tuck. Welcome to the Botox generation. This new culture is channeled through an aggressive promotion of all things youthful. Have you noticed that? What is the furthest thing from death and decay? Youth, of course. It is the perfect foil to death. If we focus enough on being young and beautiful, then surely we will never die. But the fact is, we will. At some point, we all must face that reality that our days are numbered. In fact, the psalmist tells us to actually face that reality, and he says it this way: teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, he's saying, face it head on. It's foolishness to live in denial. This guy, Ben Franklin, was a little less poetic. He said, in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. Have you paid your taxes yet? Sigmund Freud was even more blunt. He said, the goal of all life is death. Ouch. And yet, there is a hope in all of us that death is not the final answer. I'm sure you're all familiar with Anne Frank. Anne Frank and her family lived in Amsterdam when the Nazis invaded and occupied, took control of the country. And because they were Jewish, they went into hiding. And for 2 years, they lived in this hidden upper room. But they were discovered and sent to Auschwitz, where Anne Frank perished at the age of 15 years old. But during those 2 years, when they were hiding, she kept a journal. And she was an amazing young girl. And she said profound things. Here is one excerpt of something that she said. I don't want to have lived in vain like most people. I want to be useful or bring enjoyment to all people, even those I've never met. I want to go on living, even after my death. She expressed the hope that is in all of us, didn't she? To go on living even after our death. So a question for you. Why is it that we have this hope to go on living even after death? Why is it that we're even aware of death? Why is it that we even know we're going to die? Now, I love dogs. How many of you love dogs? How about cats? You know, I've had four dogs. My first dog was a German Shepherd named... Come on, John. Daphne. I know it hurts to say it. John lived with Daphne. My second dog was a collie named Tor. My third dog was a cocker named Buddy. And my fourth and present dog is a Bichon named Charlie. And great dog. I love dogs. The only problem with having a dog is that they don't live long enough. You know, all three of my first three dogs live 14 plus years. But it's not long enough, is it? But here's what's so amazing to me. As hard as it is for me dealing with that reality, they have no problem. Why? Because your dog, your cat, has no awareness of death. They don't know they're going to die. Do they? But we do. So how come we do and they don't? It's not fair. Well, I think the Bible gives us a clue as to why we do and they don't. It's a man named Koheleth. He was a Jewish sage, and there's a book in the Jewish Bible called Sirach. And here's what he said. God has planted eternity in the human heart. In other words, we know we're going to die, but we have this sense that death is not the final chapter. Scottish poet George MacDonald called it whispers of eternity. He said this, "Yet hints come to me from the realm unknown. Airs drift across the twilight borderland, odored with life. Whispers to my heart are blown that fill me with a joy that I cannot speak." You know, perhaps you've had a moment where you felt that time stood still. You know, a transcendent feeling, a magic moment of love or joy or peace. It's something that just kind of transported you, what he calls a whisper of eternity. You know, it can happen suddenly, anytime, anywhere. I remember I think the first time I experienced this, it was 45 years ago, and I'm only 50, so no. Just making sure you're with me. Yeah, no Medicare, right. Yeah, that's right, sorry, I showed you my card. I was riding my bike to work, and I wasn't riding in the car, I was riding my bike in Timonium. You know, busy streets, whatever. And as I'm riding my bike to work, all of a sudden I was transported, and I was lifted out of myself, and I had this overwhelming sense of joy. And I was going to work. And it would only last for a moment, but here, 45 years later, it's absolutely, I just never forgot it. So vivid in my spirit. Around the same time, I was sitting on my back porch, Old Bodonia Road, where I live with John. And I was just sitting there. It was just a summer day, and the wind with breeze was blowing. And again, all of a sudden, time stood still. I was transported, and I just had this overwhelming, transcendent feeling of peace. It was just so powerful. It was a whisper of eternity. 5 years ago, my wife and I celebrated our 20th anniversary. That means we have 25 coming up. Hallelujah. And on our 20th anniversary, we wanted to see the Canadian Rockies. So we flew into Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and we rented a car, and we're driving north into the Rockies. Now, if you've never done that, you got to do it. I mean, it's just an unbelievable, amazing experience. As you see the mountains growing and growing and growing and getting larger. And then when we got there and we got to our first overlook, we got out, and I'm standing there, like, looking at this mountain, and I heard this whisper of eternity as I beheld and experienced the transcendent majesty of God. So powerfully that I was trying to hide it from my wife. I started crying. How many of you know men try to hide that? Why is that? It was a majestic moment. It was a whisper of eternity. Nathaniel Hawthorne, American novelist, said it this way. Our Creator would never have made such a lovely creation and given us the deep hearts to enjoy it above and beyond all thought unless we were meant to be immortal. Here's the truth, not fake. This is not fake news. You were meant to be immortal. Amen. Come on. Amen. You are meant to live forever and ever and ever. Now, Apostle Paul, Rabbi Paul, he was an ultra-Orthodox Jew. And he was on his way one day to Damascus to arrest other Jewish believers in Jesus. And on his way to Damascus, he had this transcendent moment, experience, where he actually Saul had a vision of the resurrected Jesus. And what did it do? What happened to him? Completely, radically altered his life. Changed him completely. And this is what he discovered. He said it this way. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, there's that moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last shofar. For the shofar will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable nature must put on the imperishable, and this mortal nature must put on, you say it, immortality. And he goes on, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin and the law of sin is death. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus, Yeshua, and Messiah. Mashiach. Hallelujah. Jesus won the victory. Why? Because he was victorious over death. But his victory was unique, wasn't it? He didn't die and rise from the dead to die again. That would be resuscitation. Lazarus was resuscitated. Lazarus died again. Jesus was resurrected, never to die again. He's victorious over death, and he wants to share that same victory with every person here. Now, you're probably all aware that Billy Graham died. He was an extraordinary man, wasn't he? Had an extraordinary ministry, an extraordinary life. But he had this hope of victory over death. And he proclaimed it for 58 years to over 215 million people. And over 2.5 million people are now in heaven because of him. Yeah, or will be. And this hope that he had became more real as he approached the end of his life. So here's Billy Graham in his own words.
I've become an old man now, and I've preached all over the world. And the older I get, the more I cling to that hope that I started with many years ago.
And I have confidence as I stand before God at this moment that there's nothing between me and the Savior, because Christ has forgiven my sins. And it brings a great joy and a great peace to me, because I know where I've come from.
I know why I'm here, I know where I'm going, and I don't have any doubts about it.
Wherever you are, whoever you are, rich, poor, black, white, whatever your color, race, or creed, you can say yes to Jesus Christ.
You, and you alone, in the quiet arena of your heart, will have to make that decision.
I'm looking forward to going to heaven. That's going to be a great occasion. And I'm looking forward to seeing Christ face to face and seeing old friends again and living the life that the Bible describes so beautifully.
God loves you.
I'm asking you tonight to commit your life to Jesus Christ. You can have joy and peace and happiness in your life such as you've never known.
I would like to be considered a person who had integrity and who was faithful to his calling and who loved God with all his heart, mind, and soul.
going to live a billion years, and I'll only have begun.
A billion years, and you only will have begun. And he's only just begun. What a man. Well, when he was asked about death, he gave some good advice. He said, someday, for all of us, the music will stop. It will all be over. So he gave some real good advice here. He said, first, accept the fact that you will die. In other words, don't live in denial. Second, make arrangements. Don't put it off so others have to do it for you. Third, make provision for those you are leaving behind. And finally, and most importantly, make an appointment with God. Now, what is an appointment? An appointment is when you set a time and a place to meet with someone. We've all made appointments, haven't we? We make appointments with the doctor, the dentist. We make appointments with a friend for dinner. And, you know, we're all used to making appointments, aren't we? But how many of you know some appointments are more significant than others? Back in the early 80s, I was living with about 16 guys. It's a big house in Timonium. And one day I got a phone call, and I picked up the phone, and the voice said, can I speak to the head of the household? And I said, well, I guess that's me. So I said, who's calling? And he said, Johnny Unitas. And I was tempted to say, yeah, I'm Lenny Moore. Well, then he went on to convince me that it was really him. And he said he wanted to make an appointment. He wanted to meet with me to discuss, to look at my house and the property where I lived. So I said, let me think about it. No, I didn't. I said, you okay? Yeah, absolutely. When do you want to come over? So we made an appointment for him to come over the following Saturday night, 7 p.m. So later that day, while all the guys were back home, I said, we were at dinner. I said, guess what, guys? Guess who's coming over our house? And they said, who? And I said, Johnny Unitas. You can imagine their response. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm Raymond Berry, you know, whatever. You know, snickering, laughing. And I said, really? He is really coming over? Well, it was difficult to convince them, but they were looking forward to see what would happen Saturday night. Saturday night comes. 7 o'clock. Knock on the door. I open the door. And there he is, in the flesh, Johnny U. And all the guys are standing there, and literally, you could probably put a basketball in each of their mouths. That was a significant appointment, wouldn't you say? But as significant as that was, there was a more significant appointment for each one of us. And I call that a divine appointment. Just as Johnny U stood at the door of my house and knocked, there is another person here this morning who stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. And he says this, here am I. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat. Some translations, feast with that person. Amen. And they with me. This morning is your divine appointment. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And you only need to open the door and welcome him in. So, as we close this morning, I want you to try to imagine what will happen if you open that door. This song is what one person imagined.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is looking at me. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or will all of you be still? I can only imagine all creation bowed down, the whole universe saying your name out loud. I can only imagine all our broken lives resurrected in the healing light. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or will all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Oh, I can only imagine.
You want to see the movie. Please stand. Bart Millard, who wrote this song, he looked forward to his appointment with God. And here's the truth this morning. So can you. So if you're hearing his voice this morning, if he's knocking on the door of your heart, then I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. This is how you can make your appointment with God. This is how you can know. Because prayer is just simply talking to God. So here's a prayer I'd like to invite you to pray. So Lord, we thank you this morning, Jesus, that you are not dead, but you are so alive. And that you've conquered not only sin, but you've conquered death, that we might live in joy, in perfect love, in perfect peace, forever and ever, billions times billions of years in the paradise of your presence. So Lord, we hear this morning that whisper of eternity. We feel the knock on the door of our hearts. We thank you for this divine appointment with you this morning. So we pray this prayer. Pray with me. Lord, I can only imagine what it will be like when I leave this life. I hear the whispers of eternity in my heart. I sense you knocking on the door of my heart. I want to believe there is life after death, that I have victory over death. So I thank you now that you so loved me, that you conquered death for me. And because you died and rose for me, I will love you and live for you both now and for eternity, forever and ever. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer this morning, then you have now an amazing relationship with God that will go on forever and ever, that you can only imagine how awesome it will be. Paul's going to close us this morning with an ancient blessing called the Aaronic blessing.
Yivarech echa Adonai v'adishmarecha Yaher Adonai panavalecha vihunecha Yisa Adonai panavalecha Ve'yasem lecha, everyone. Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his awesome, beautiful countenance upon you and give you his shalom. His peace, both now and for eternity. All God's people said, Amen. Amen.